Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to focus our hearts and minds on you. Thank you for reminding us of the joy it is to belong to you. We're so grateful. The thanksgiving in our heart is real, and we're so very appreciative of this time together to open your word. We pray that as we open your word, Lord, that you inspire us, that you'd give us instruction that we can apply to our lives. Lord, we thank you for your encouragement, strengthening us by your Spirit to face the challenges that we face, but also, Lord, to be a blessing to the people in our lives. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ooh. So when Lisa and I were, I gotta get my angle here better. There we go. When we were in college in the early 80s, we lived on the Pacific Christian College campus. Lisa was a student at Cal State Fullerton. I was a student at Pacific Christian. And she lived in the women's dorm and I lived in the men's dorm. And I think it was at least once a week, we had dorm devotions. Do you remember those? Yeah? So, it was not a COVID-friendly kind of gathering because we filled the lobbies. One week it would be the men's dorm, and the next week it'd be the women's dorm. And we were just a bunch of late teens, early 20s people crammed into the lobby, singing songs and hearing a devotion. And one of my favorite songs was from the passage in Micah 6:8. Well, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you or thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. So I was thinking about that this morning when I was revisiting our passage today and thinking how appropriate that song is to the whole of the scriptures. That if we want to live to please God, if we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we are called to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. And it fits. Last week, we looked at the character of Jesus' followers. He said to those who would come to learn from him, blessed are, and he listed the poor in spirit, the people who mourn or are sorry for their sin, the people who are meek. In other words, they're not dependent on their strength and might, but have self-control. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones who want to do justly, and on and on. So we got a taste of the character of what Jesus said, you who will follow me. And today, he builds on that character and exposes the influence that his followers are to have or would have on the world through two metaphors. The metaphors are salt and light. These are everyday commodities that Jesus would have seen in his own home growing up. The salt that he would have seen probably Mary rubbing into leftover food because there was no refrigeration to preserve it. So salt and light, you would have thought of the candles being lit or the lanterns. As soon as the sun set, the household would have light. And so very simple, but very useful commodities. And he's using these as a metaphor for who we are and the influence we're to have in this world. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth.
But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we'll start with the salt of the earth. I told you last week that on Wednesday I did a funeral for a 28-year-old man. And this young man loved to fish. And the point here is salt slows down decay. So his brother had told a story on Wednesday. It was just his dad who had put the service together, and there were four of them and me before the little crypt where his urn would be placed. And so his brother said, "I got a story to tell." He was a quick learner. And he told a story about when they were camping and I should probably be careful about names, but he said he wanted to catch this fish so bad. And he asked his brother, he said, "How can I catch this fish?" And his brother told him, "Do you remember that piece of chicken that you left out on the rock?" And he remembered, and it had been a couple of days, I guess, and the temperature out, I'm thinking it was Lake Mead, 110 in the day, and or maybe even at night. And he said, "Go get that piece of chicken, because by now it's going to be really bad, ripe, smelly." He said, "And that's what catfish like, smelly bait." And so he said, "My brother was the only one that didn't lose it when he went and got that smelly piece of chicken, and he put the bait on and he caught that catfish." And so the point here is that had salt been rubbed into that smelly piece of chicken, it may not have decayed so rapidly. And that was Jesus' point in saying that you are the salt of the earth. Salt was used instead of refrigeration to slow the decay. And so what Jesus was saying is that we would be like salt rubbed into the culture to slow the decay of society. Our presence in this world is to have the negative of slowing decay, of interrupting. So it's an antiseptic, if you will. And so that's one. He also says that contaminated salt is useless. So if you can picture, Jesus is on a hillside above the Sea of Galilee. Less than 100 miles south, there's another sea called the Dead Sea. That Dead Sea is, I think it's got a higher salinity than the Great Salt Lake in Utah. It is called the Dead Sea because of the salt content in the water. And I have floated in it, and it's very easy to float in highly, water with high salinity. But I also saw around the edges of the Dead Sea all this white powder. And some commentators think that Jesus even made the nod towards the Dead Sea when he talked about contaminated salt being useless. Only good for a footpath that you would trot along. It's not even good for the manure, for composting. It has no value. It's tasteless and it's contaminated. And so what's his point there? Purities made that salt useless. And I would guess that he's
saying something to his disciples that your flesh, your propensity to sin, has a potential of making you useless to the society. So, contamination. But he also says that contained salt is useless. In order for salt to do its good work, it has to be rolled into it, the food, and mixed with it to be effective. Back in the 80s, when Lisa and I were in college, there was a book that Becky Pippert wrote called Out of the Salt Shaker. And it was a book that encouraged Christians to get involved in your world. Get involved with the people in your life. That has been a theme of Oak Springs for a long time, and it always will be, because it's a theme of Jesus teaching us, his disciples, how to relate to the world. And we are like salt, to be rubbed into it for helping to slow the decay, but also, I think, too, to give some taste. I don't know about you, but I like salt on my food. You know, I so far the doctor hasn't told me to not put salt on my food. From the beginning of our marriage, my wife has told me to put less salt on the food. But so far. But it tastes good. It makes bland food taste better, right? So I think there's that element as well, but I think the primary element of being the salt of the earth is really the use to slow the decay. So our presence means something for this world. He says, you are the light of the world. And I'll repeat the verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Light here, I believe, is the gospel message. Jesus and his death on the cross. That is the good news. That's the gospel. That he would die on the cross, taking the penalty of death upon himself. His offer of forgiveness for all who put their trust in him. He is the light of the world, and we are a reflection of his light. He's given that light for us to shine. So this is a reference to evangelism on the one hand, sharing the good news with others. So when he says you are the light of the world, he is certainly talking about you are ambassadors with the good news. You are recipients of a forgiveness that is unearned, undeserved, but is yours because God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And this happened, he said this before he completed his mission, but he certainly had his mission in mind when he said, you are the light of the world. Light is good works of Christians. So the light is also our good works, deeds done for the good of others. I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, I like to think back on just what took place over the day and just offer thanks for the day. And at the end of each day, I realize just how much God has allowed me to do. Yesterday, it was helping Melissa, our daughter, get moved. And Mike, thank you for your help. I borrowed Mike's truck yesterday, and when I went to pick it up, he offered himself to come along as a helper. And that was a great relief, because this was the third weekend in a row that I've helped move people. So anyway... got Melissa moved. We built this cat house thing. It
all the parts were there, it fit together. But thinking back over the day, it was when I had to go back to pick up my phone. So here's the deal, you who are with us by Zoom. I left my phone in Corona when Mike and I left yesterday. And had I not gone back to get it, you would not be here. So I went back, and when I went back, I went in and just had a talk with Melissa. And moving's hard. I hate to bring that up, Mary, but it's just hard. It is. And I think there was some encouragement needed. And what I shared with Melissa was that, you know, she's moved into her grandparents' home. And I told her to be patient and kind, because there's a lot of stress involved with moving. And she and her cousin are living together, and I had the both of them there. And I told them, and I said, you know, this is going to be good for the two of you. The good thing about this is that you are going to have some time together. And I also reminded her that her parent and, you know, her parents' family are going through a tough time with mom and dad, who have lived in that house for all these years, are now living in assisted living. That's a big change. And so to show some kindness would be good. So I thought that was one of the better things that happened yesterday. Was I forgot my phone, so I had to go back to Corona. A lot of driving yesterday. But it gave an opportunity to do some good. And so, big things, small things, we are the light of the world. And finally, light is useful to all. Here's the thing about light. We all need it. The world is dark and getting darker. The world, influenced by evil, needs the Christians to counteract that darkness by being the light Jesus said we are to be. This is the thing that I know Jesus has in mind about reflecting, that we would reflect him. That really, you know, you can look at this as a call to Christ likeness. You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. You are to reflect me. He would go on and show many examples and teach many ways to be like him. But this is our call, is to be like Christ in this world, to shed some light on God's way of life, to give our humble appreciation for what God's done for us, to come alongside others who are struggling and just offer some encouragement. You know, kindness goes a long way. So light is useful to all. So here's the lessons, Jesus' lessons, three of them that I want us to mull over. And then that's even before the so what. So I'm going to give you six things to mull over this week. One is that Christians are different. His disciples would be a counterculture movement, slowing the decay of society, walking alongside others, giving a new perspective, a better way of doing things than violently opposing everything against. People who do justly, love mercy, and live humbly. So we are different. You know, it is a counterculture that he called us to be. And it doesn't necessarily mean a violent counter. It's just the opposite. We are to be a counterculture that maintains kindness, goodness, love, joy, and peace. All the things that we have because of the Spirit of God in us are to be present in this world through us. We are to be different. Christians are responsible. Jesus, right after describing the character of his followers, describes the influence we are to have on the world we live in. Negatively as salt and positively as light. And Christian influence glorifies God. Being salt of the earth and light of the world, ultimately this glorifies God, which, as I always say, is a win-win. Because when we glorify God, our hearts are blessed. It's what I try to remind you of every time we come together. There's something about being together, worshiping God, that is good for the soul. There's just something about it. Even when you would rather be anywhere else, and I can see that pool, there's just something so right about worshiping God. It connects deeply with who we're created to be. And so the influence of doing that which we're created to do is good. It helps the people in our lives, and it brings glory to God. And that really is good for us. So here's the so what. We must wrestle with the world. All right. In order to have the preservative, the salty effect on society, we must be rubbed into it. For me, this means to get into the business of life with people. I told you about the trip back to Corona, but there's so many things. Friday, I got to officiate a service here in town for a deceased fireman, and to be present with a daughter, an only daughter, an only child of this man, and to honor him and to thank God for his life, which is what we do at services. We give families the opportunity to reflect and remember with gratitude the person that they're honoring. And Friday was no different. A very young daughter, and just so much good was shared about her dad. Those things are important because the legacy of a life, and you think about, Jesus is alive and is going to return, but for us, what we have is his legacy, and we have his teaching, and we honor that by being who he created us to be in this world, to connecting with people, to wrestle with the issues in our world. I don't think we will all agree on the issues that we wrestle with, but we can agree that God in us will bring good into the evil in this world. He will counter the evil with the love of his people. And that's a good thing. And we can wrestle with that. And we can be a blessing to the people in our lives. I've walked with some of you for a long time, and I've seen you love the people in your life through challenging, tough stuff. And I think Jesus would say, right on, keep it up. Keep doing this. You're the salt of the earth. You got to wrestle with the world that we live in. Don't be contaminated and don't stay in the salt shaker. I don't know if this is considered the salt shaker, and we're here and we're worshiping together and it's all nice and good. I don't know. But I do hope that this is part of what equips you and me to get out there and rub shoulders with the people in our lives, and to do so in such a way that has a good effect. An effect that slows the decay. An effect that will give preservation to the life of the people that you're interacting with. So, we must wrestle with the world. We must shine in the world. On this is weird, but on Friday night, I had the very rare opportunity of throwing the first pitch at a Lake Elsinore Storm game. It was something else. So I got to tell you, just a little side note on that. They had three first pitches thrown at that game. The first was thrown by a girls 10 and under softball team that had won Lake Elsinore championship. So two 10 or under age girls threw the ball, one to the other, all the way across the plate. Great. The second group was two Sunday school teachers from a church in Fallbrook. These two ladies got out there and they threw the ball all the way across the plate. The third one was yours truly, who got the ball in his hand and threw a one hopper to the catcher. That's right, the ball didn't quite make it, it hopped in there. Yeah, so I got to live that one down. But I tried to use that moment for good. And I'll tell you, it was an odd kind of thing, because not only did I throw the first pitch, but then the announcer handed me the microphone. And you're standing there on the Jumbotron talking to, you know, it's not a huge group, but 3,003 were there that night. And I got to say welcome, you know, to the game from Hospice of the Valleys. As the chaplain, I got to say a little bit about Hospice of the Valleys and welcome them to the game. So it was a rare moment. Somebody, they'd probably say, don't quit your day job there, chaplain. So, yeah, but anyway, it was a chance to reflect some good. And those are rare and weird, but we all have an opportunity to reflect Christ in our world, to allow him to shine. I prefer flying under the radar. I do not like to be on a Jumbotron. I tell you that, and it's still true. But the opportunity to do good, I would rather step through my fear and shine for Christ than to neglect the responsibility. And that's what I want to say to all of us, is God in us makes opportunities for good in this world. Again, I've seen how he has done it through so many of you. And I want to just encourage you to keep reflecting the Son of God. You're like the moon in the sky at night. And late, you know, the last few nights we had that big, bright, full moon. And that's like us in the universe, as we reflect the light of Christ. And it shows, and it's good. And finally, we must influence the world. Otherwise, the mission is a failure. And Christ did not fail his mission. And he is going to come back when God says it's time. And until then, the plan, the mission is that you and I will be like salt of the earth. We will influence this world in a way that slows the decay, in a way that opposes the evil that is ruining society. And that we are the light of the world, that we will shine, that we will reflect Christ in the character he has given us, and the love, joy, and peace, and patience, kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control that are ours because his Spirit lives in us. This is the influence that we are to have in this world. So, our growing familiarity with the Word of God, it changes us so that we can inspire good in others. Kindness is contagious. It really is. And that's Christ in us is contagious. I really want to encourage us to take this message to heart, that our kindness matters in this world. You and I are challenged every day
to take sides, to make it an us versus them world, to take a side and despise the other. And I want to say to you, that's not God's way. His way is to be rubbed into the world in a good and healthy way. His way is to reflect light into darkness, to show a better way forward. That's God's way for us. So our familiarity with His Word is helpful. And our deepening love for God leads to do justly, for us to do justly, to really recognize that God has left the church on this planet to help the oppressed, to find justice, to want justice, to do justice in this world. And not just justice for people, but justice for creation. God wants us to take care of this planet. And we're to be mindful of that. And I'm not talking about crazy, wild things, but to be mindful of what we can do to help the planet. You know, I think science today has helped us to even figure out how to do better with our trash, you know? And so to be mindful of things going on is a good thing. So let's commit to justice for one another and for the oppressed, but also for the creation. To love mercy. On Wednesday, when the young man, the 28-year-old, was being honored, through a very broken voice, the father said, "My son was a gentle soul." And I said to him, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." And that was right out of last week's message, right? And it's, you know, yay for the timeliness, but the truth of loving mercy is who we are. We are to love mercy. We are to desire good for others, to want the oppressed to be not oppressed, to want those who are ill to be healed, to be merciful to those who are in pain. We want them to find relief. That's being merciful. And to walk humbly with our God, not as bullies. You know, we have so much as the forgiven children of God. But we are not to take that and, you know, snub people with it. We are not to take a "I'm greater than you" mentality. Just the opposite. We are to look at our Savior and see what He's called us to be, and that is to serve all. You want to be the greatest? You become the servant of all. And so, we are brothers and sisters, not bullies. That's how we're to treat each other, and that's really the relationships that we are to reflect in this world. Very, very easy to get caught up in the opposite, in divide and conquer. Very easy to get swept into the fury of what you don't like about this group or that group. Resist it. Resist it. Walk humbly with God. Allow Him to make you salty and to make you shiny. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the teaching of Jesus. It deeply profound and often disturbing of my way of life. And so I thank you that together we can wrestle with your word and be mindful of the people in our lives. Lord, help us to promote good relationships. Help us to be the useful as your church on this planet to slow the decay of society, to not contribute to it, but to slow it, to allow you to use us to share the good news, to also to do good things, to visit the
the prisoner, to help the poor, to dress the naked, to feed the hungry. Lord, show us opportunities to be light in this world and to be salty. Lord, use us as your people. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for the desire of this church to be faithful and to wrestle with your word, to get a deeper understanding. Help us, Lord, as we do so together. Lord, also I pray that you help us to meet the needs of the people around us, to be good neighbors, to pray for one another, and to do what we can to help one another. I've been so blessed by a church of people that have helped me in so many ways. I'm so grateful. Lord, help us to do more, to just keep doing what you'd have us to do, to not grow weary in doing good. And Lord, I pray that as we worship you in our time of giving, that you would protect this time as well to be simply a time of worship, of giving, and nothing more or less. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.